talk briefly about abiding in Christ and the centrality of Christ?
Yeah. In the Christian life, there are two convictions. Before you were saved, it's a conviction that comes through the law that shows you the knowledge of sin and the guilt of sin. The law was given that every mouth may be stopped and that all the world might become guilty before God. Then God introduces to you the great fact of the mercy seat. It's called the propitiation, but it's more simple to call it the mercy seat. And when Christ died, he died on the cross so that God might be purely righteous, entirely righteous, and still forgive the sinner. And when God forgives your sins, he does it once and for all. And that link of relationship can't be broken. But after you're saved, there's the second conviction. Not so much what you do, your sins, but what you are, the source of sin that's in your flesh life. And there's a great conflict within you. And the reason for that conflict is to expose the presence of the flesh, to show to you the total depravity of the flesh. Three, to show to you the incurability of the flesh. There's nothing you can do to improve it, nor can God. And then to show to you the total weakness that you're in so that you long for victory and you cry out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? And then he takes you back to the cross. And you don't see your sins there, but you see your flesh judged. And then you learn to cry out, Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? And God says to you very sweetly, Know ye not that the old man was crucified with him? So you've already judged it, yes. Now he says you've got to judge it in yourself. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the lust and the affections thereof. Galatians 5. But then someone challenged me. He said, if I could take out my flesh life and prick it like a sausage before I fry it, I would do it. But how do you take your flesh life out? Well, I said, what that basically means is this. When the flesh shouts at you to sin, you say, no. When you go to the Holy Spirit and he never shouts, it's the overture of love, and you begin to obey the Spirit. And all the time you're disobedient to the flesh, you're crucifying it. And all the time you're obedient to the Spirit, you're obeying him. And you're allowing him to live in your life. Now, what does that mean in practice? This is what I do. Every day I go into my study. And I tell the Lord that wicked, vile, corrupt, evil Peter Brandon has died. Hallelujah. That's finished him. Finished. And Lord, you're so gracious. I've been buried. You don't leave the old corpse on the ground. I've been buried. That's the finality. And Lord, there's only one life in me, that's your life. And I accept it by faith. And that means I've had a burial service without flowers, and I'm glad. I've had a resurrection service by faith, and I'm jubilant. Now sin comes along. It can come, as we were hearing, through the world, or it can come from within through the flesh. You see, your flesh has already been condemned by the Lord Jesus. It's got to be condemned by you. And when the flesh raises its head, I say, sorry, I've died. You come to a dead man. And I turn to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. And that new life is there to help. And so I'm walking by faith. And the simple explanation is seen in the great parable of the stilling of the storm. Here was Peter in a boat with the disciples, and they were tossed with the waves, and they were in serious trouble. And all of a sudden they see a figure on the horizon, and they cry out for fear. Now that word cry means they screamed. They panicked. It's the epitome of weakness. And the Lord meets all their weakness, and he said, it's the I, or literally the I am. That's the epitome of strength. So when they get to the point of absolute weakness, he comes in with his almighty strength. It's the I am. Not in the fire, but on the flood. Peter says, I'll test him. If it's you, the I am, bid me come. And the Lord tested him. He said, come. Oh, oh, oh. If water could speak, it would say this. If you step on us, you'll sink like a brick. That's gravity. Faith said, all things are possible, only believe. I could imagine Peter almost saying, calm it down a bit, Lord. Calm it down. I can swim a bit too. Now. Then came a moment when he stepped out. The moment he stepped out, he was saying, Lord, it's up to you. I'm totally abandoned. I can't walk on the water. That's impossible. But you're doing it, I can do it, you're the I am. And he stepped out in faith. Now there comes a moment when you say, Lord, I'm stepping out. I've been defeated for years, but you're the I am. I'm trusting you now to make me whole. And I'm so glad he had an accident, because I've had many. He saw the wind boisterous. Now that's a seamanship term. In modern naval language, it means the haymaker. It's the wave that sinks the boat. He saw the haymaker. But I love this. He didn't pray a long prayer. If he'd have said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, he'd have been at the bottom of the water, wouldn't he? He'd probably be singing, I'm forever blowing bubbles. You know what I mean? He'd be right down. But he said, Lord, save me. And the Lord caught him, and what did he say? O thou of little discipline? No, O thou of little faith. And it's put like this in the scripture. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's what I do every morning. Lovely to tell the Lord this. Evil, wicked, corrupt Peter Brandon. And after that, you've been through a brokenness. You don't want anyone to pat you on the back. You know what you are. Thank you, you're finished with me, Lord. And there's only one life in me. That's the life of the Lord Jesus. Now live your life in me. And when I fail, I become intelligent. I don't tell the Lord I've done it again. I said, Lord, I wasn't trusting you then. And stepped out in faith. And all the time you're trusting, you're victorious. Don't tell him to quieten the storm. Tell him to give you victory in the storm. That's better.
Brother has told us about you him being in a coal mining town and when the Lord blessed.
Yes, that was a great movement of the Spirit. But it wasn't like South Africa. You see, that went on for months, for 40 years. That's how you tell a revival, does it last? And that movement of the Spirit there, about 20 assemblies went out from Madison, from the assembly at Atlow. Oh, I shall never forget it. I used to sit there among the people while they were singing, and I knew that souls were being saved. Some nights I hardly went to the platform. It was the brother that was leading the singing, got the word of the Lord. It doesn't matter. It's God. It'd be lovely if the Lord started a work like that in us.